the subject tonight, I put this title on the message, Saul's Jealousy and What It Cost Him. Saul's Jealousy and What It Cost Him. The story is told of two shoekeepers, shopkeepers, who were bitter rivals. Their stores were directly across the street from each other, and they would spend each day keeping track of each other's business. One night, of course this is a fictional story, but one night an angel appeared to one of the shopkeepers in a dream and said, "I will give you anything you ask, but whatever you receive, your competitor will receive twice as much. Would you be rich? You can be very rich, but he will be twice as wealthy. Do you wish to live a long and healthy life? You can, but his life will be longer and healthier. What is your desire?" The man frowned and thought for a moment, and then he said, "Here's my request. Strike me blind in one eye." Jealousy, envy. You know, it really is a destructive thing. Envy is something that's ruined many people. And, you know, I think we might consider, or, you know, when we think about ourselves and our church and so on, we could probably think that, well, jealousy's not a problem around here. You know, I don't really consider myself a jealous person. And I hope that's really true. But, you know, it's something that's pretty common when you study the Bible. It was a common thing in the lives of men. And I think it's a common thing still today. Whether it's a problem you deal with or not is something for the Lord to help us understand. But I was just considering, just for a brief moment, thinking about people in the Bible. And of course, I didn't think very long after, you know, I started with Genesis, right? Think about Adam and Eve, and I get to Cain, and whoa, yeah, right there. Jealousy shows up, doesn't it? Cain became so jealous, so envious of his brother, so enraged by the fact that God had accepted his sacrifice and not Cain's. And we understand the reasons for that. But that he killed his own flesh and blood. He killed his own brother. And then I thought about, not very far again, Joseph's brothers. Joseph, his dad gave him a coat of many colors. And I can, you know, we understand that because Jacob did favor Joseph, perhaps he treated him with more favor than the others. They became jealous. Now, they didn't kill Joseph like Cain did, but they wanted to. And that jealousy went from, you know, just being jealous, just feeling treated poorly, unfairly by dad, to the point where some of them would have put him to death. And the jealousy obviously can go to murder pretty quickly, because Cain did, Joseph's brothers wanted to, Saul, we'll find in this chapter, throws a javelin at David. And so, yeah, it's a pretty violent emotion, can be. Haman was one in the Bible who hated Mordecai, was very jealous of him, and Haman had a lot of, I think, insecurities. But he wanted to kill Mordecai, to hang him, and he ended up being hung on his own gallows. And so those are just some thoughts about some that out of jealousy moved to the area of murder in their heart, and Cain even killing his brother. And then I thought about Korah in the Israelite camp. You know, Korah, and it wasn't only Korah, he's kind of the ringleader, so we know his name. But there were many others that banded with him to go to Moses and said, "Moses, who do you think you are? You take too much on yourself. You know, you put yourself up as the leader, and you know, hey, we're able to lead too. We can make some decisions ourselves, and we don't need you telling us what to do all the time." And they were just jealous of his authority. And Moses, being the meekest man in the world, said, "Hey, I didn't choose this God put me here, and I'm just trying to be obedient. But we know Korah and those that followed him caused a division in the camp, and they were killed, they were destroyed. I thought about the Corinthians, you know, the church of Corinth. There was a lot of jealousy, a lot of envy in that church. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and then the really spiritual ones, well, we're of Christ, you know. And so that kind of jealousy, we see how it leads to murder, we see how it leads to just strife and division and something that's never good in a church, a home, or a congregation of any kind. Jealousy. And so tonight I want to just help us to go through this story, and as we do, we can see the destructiveness, the cost, the loss that envy and jealousy can bring. Now, somebody said, I was reading different illustrations, and that's where I found this one of the shopkeepers. And in that website, I saw this definition, and I thought it was interesting. I hadn't really considered it. Let's see what you think of this. It says, to envy is to want something which belongs to another person. Okay, you got that? To envy is to want something that belongs to another person. We understand that. God said, thou shalt not covet. It's kind of a similar thing. In contrast, he says, jealousy is the fear that something we possess will be taken away by another person. Although jealousy can apply to our jobs or our positions or our reputation, the word more often refers to anxiety which comes when we are afraid that the affections of a loved one might be lost to a rival. It's an interesting thought. And I see that in Saul. I mean, that was really Saul's jealousy. He when he heard the women cry out, Saul hath slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands, he feared that David had stolen the hearts of the people. That their loyalty, their affections, their honor was no longer on Saul, but had gone to David. And, you know, honestly, I think that was... I don't really know that they really were just, you know, saying, hey, we won, you know. I mean, Saul's coming home from battle. There's victory. And Saul's slaying his thousands. And, hey, he's got this new general, David. And, man, he did great in the battle. He slew tens of thousands. And it wasn't necessarily slighting Saul. But a jealous heart sees it that way. Sometimes a jealous heart makes, you know, they read into things more than what's really intended. In their envy, in their jealousy. So, Saul became extremely insecure. Now, in contrast to that, just I was thinking about John the Baptist. You remember how the disciples of John the Baptist, they felt a little jealous when the crowds that had been coming to John's meetings started dwindling or going away and going to see Jesus. Remember? And they came to John and they said, hey, you know, look, our congregation's getting thin here. They're all going over to this other guy. Jesus is over there preaching. And John, you remember his response? What did John say? Yeah. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And that was the right response. John didn't have any jealousy toward Jesus. He's like, yes, that's what I came to preach so that they would follow Jesus. I just came to prepare the way. I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes. But that's not how Saul responded. Let's look at the loss that jealousy brings. I see at least four things in this chapter. First of all, there was a loss. Saul caused a loss of a godly companion for his son. Look at verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. We find here, of course, the great and the well-known relationship of friendship that that Jonathan and David had. They became very close friends. And Jonathan had no jealousy. I mean, you know, and I think perhaps, I don't know if they kind of had heard by now about Samuel anointing, you know, David, and it seems like Jonathan, and before long, they know that David's going to be the next king. But that didn't bother. I mean, and think about it. So Saul's the king. Jonathan's his son. Who is the next in line to the throne? Well, it's Jonathan. But Jonathan, it was not a jealousy thing with him. He loved David. He was when he gave him his garments, it was as to say, look, you're really the one worthy of this more than me. And they became very close friends. They loved one another as friends. And they could have been great companions. And in a sense, they were, but never to the degree that they could have been because of Saul and what Saul was doing. Now, you kind of know that story, but think about what's the loss? What did they lose in that? And think of it, okay, it's Father's Day from the perspective of Saul. How important, what a blessing is it for your son to have a friend who's a man after God's own heart? How many would like that? How many would say, hey, you know, look, son, Jonathan, you know, there's some guys over there and, you know, I really don't want you hanging around them. But look at this guy, David. Now, that's a good influence. How about just make friends with him and spend some time with David? I mean, that's what a father would want, right? Especially one who loved God. I mean, we know the importance of peer pressure. We know the influence that a friend can have. And he had the opportunity, David, you know, it wasn't that Jonathan was a rebellious son and said, I don't want that goody-goody David. I'll go hang out with with these other guys. No, Jonathan wanted to be friends with David. Saul should have encouraged that. But his jealousy destroyed it. And that was a great loss. Now, I know Jonathan tried to carry on a friendship with David, and they did. But it wasn't what it should have been. It wasn't what it could have been. Because Saul was constantly devising plans against David. I mean, there's been many, we know stories of people who, young people who seem to be going down the right road, and then all of a sudden they make a left turn and go off into the world. And many times because of the influence of some friend. And he lost the blessing of allowing Jonathan and David to really grow in their friendship. Another loss that I find is beginning in verse number 5. It says, David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. And this is a phrase, notice it. It says, behaved himself, what? Wisely. That's repeated 3 times in this chapter. David behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. As I said, this is an exceptional thing that, I mean, in chapter 17, when he comes out against Goliath, remember how Saul said, you can't fight against him, you are a youth. David was still a young man. You're nothing but a youth. And Goliath is a warrior from his youth. But your youth, and then as you, we didn't finish chapter 17 all the way, but in that chapter, Saul said to his to Abner, his general, when David took the head of Goliath off, he said to Abner, "Hey, whose son is this stripling?" That's what he calls him, a stripling. "Whose son is this stripling?" And he's, Abner said, "I don't know." And then he said, "I'm Jesse's son, the Bethlehemite." But he was a young man. He was a stripling. He was a youth. He was a young man. And yet now he's like a general. He's in charge, and they all are willingly accepting him. I mean, can you imagine if some young man came in the army, and you know, you have Abner, and you have all these men of war, and now we want you to follow Jonathan, or follow David? I can imagine some of them thinking, "This kid, he's still wet behind the ears. You know, we're going to follow him." But they didn't. They saw in David a leader, because he behaved himself what wisely. They saw that, hey, David's got something. I mean, he knows how to go about this, and so they respected him in that sense, and he was a great leader. Look down at verse number 13. It says, "Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people." And here it is again. "And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." And it says, "Wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely," Saul should have said, "Man, praise the Lord. I'm glad I got this guy." But no, he was afraid of him. "But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them." Look all the way down at verse number 30. It says, "Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass that after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by." So here, Saul had a valuable asset. He had a man who was young, but he was a man who could lead. He was wise. The men respected him. The people loved him. I mean, that was a, you know, he's the guy you want on your team. You know, if you could have someone who, you know, could have those kind of qualities. But his jealousy drove him away. His jealousy fought against it. So I'm saying that jealousy cost Saul a great companion for his son, cost him a great leader of his armies because of his jealousy. And jealousies can damage relationships always. So not only did it cost him those things, but what else? Look at verse 17. "And Saul said to David, 'Behold my elder daughter, Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles.' For Saul said, 'Let not my hand be upon him, and let the hand of the Philistines be upon him.' And David said unto Saul, 'Who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be the son-in-law to the king?' But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Maholathite, to wife." And now here's this other daughter. And I never really know what to call her, Michael, that's what I've always kind of heard, but I just have a problem calling a woman Michael. I don't know, it's just something. But anyway, I want to say Michal or something. Anyway, she's the daughter that Saul does give David to wife, but she loved David, it says in verse 20. "And they told David and the thing, or excuse me, they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, 'I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him.' Wherefore Saul said to David, 'Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in one of the twain.'" So not only did he have a companion for his Jonathan, a general for his army, but he also could have had a really good son-in-law. And by extension, a dad for his grandkids, right? Now, when David went to kill Goliath, you remember back in chapter 17 that the promise was, whosoever kills this giant, this enemy, the king will give his daughter as his wife. And so Saul was a little slow about getting around to this, but he finally, I think, remembers that, or somebody brought it up and said, okay, I'll give you Merib, this older daughter. And David, I mean, this shows David's heart. He was never one that, he wasn't working his way in to try to usurp Saul's authority. It was never his intention. He said, who am I that I should be the son-in-law? I'm not even worthy to be your son-in-law. But Saul said no. But then he drug his feet, and I don't know what happened. Merib maybe fell in love with another guy. I don't know. Or he just decided not to give her to David and gave her to another man. And then he had this daughter, Michal. And he said, okay, now she loves him. That's good. I'll give him Michal, because she'll be a snare to him. And that always makes me think, what does that say about Michal, huh? I mean, you know, I got this daughter that, yeah, she's a real winner. I'll give her to David, and I mean, she's going to cause him all kinds of problems. And he was always plotting. You saw that in there, right? He said, I'll send him to battle, and hopefully he's going to die out there. That's what I'm hoping. And David keeps coming back. And then he said, okay, I'll give him this daughter. I won't give him Merib. She's kind of a good young lady. I'll give him this one because she's going to create problems, and she'll, you know, she's a mess. Interesting thing, I found this as I was studying. This is just kind of a side note. But look, where did I put it? Look at 2 Samuel. Just as an interesting side note, 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse number 8. 2 Samuel 21:8. I'm the slowest guy to try to find it. All right, here we go. It says here that the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, who she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth. Now here's what I want you to see. And the five sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Maholathite. Now, Adriel, the Maholathite, was the one who married the older daughter. So what I found there was that later, Michal actually, you remember when David brought the ark back to Jerusalem? Now David's the king, and he brings the ark back, and he was rejoicing, he was dancing with joy in front of the ark, and Michal looks out the window, and she said, look at this guy. Look at my husband acting like a little kid or something. And she kind of mocks him for it. And the Bible says that Michal was barren from then on and had no children. But somewhere along the line, she raises the five sons of her older sister. Now, I said that's a side note. It doesn't really necessarily fit in the message, but I'm saying that, you know, here's the messed up family of Saul. The older daughter goes to a different husband. They have five sons. For whatever reason, they can't raise them. And so they're raised by this other daughter who can't have any children. And she's kind of a little bit of a basket case. And so what does Saul lose? Saul lost a lot. He lost a companion for his son. He lost a great leader. He lost a son-in-law, because him and Michal, you know, they did get married. They didn't have children themselves. And she she later Saul gives her to another guy. I mean, it's a mess. But it's all because it's all twisted up because of jealousy. Jealousy. Something else. This is number four and the last one. I wrote this down. Look at verse number 9. We're back at 1 Samuel 18. Verse 9. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. And he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And that didn't just happen once. It says, and David avoided out of his presence twice. And so here we have Saul, his jealousy causing Saul to be so enraged, so suspicious, so hateful. He eyed David all the time. He plotted against him. And then this evil spirit from the Lord. I put this down. It cost him his sanity. I think Saul went somewhat insane. I mean, he's not thinking like a normal person. He's into this spirit of depression and anxiety and fear. And he's constantly worrying about David, who has no intention of ever stealing his authority. But yet, you know, that's in his head all the time. And it got to the point where he literally was wanting to pin him to the wall with a javelin. And so that's what jealousy brought Saul to. It started off with he had a good friend for his son, but he didn't encourage that. He had a great leader for his armies and so on, but in that he hated David even more. Hoped he would die in battle. He could have had a great son-in-law, and thereby a father for Saul's grandchildren. But his jealousy cost him all of that. And made it to the point where he became really kind of a raving lunatic. Hunting David. Constantly eyeing David. Had a weary eye on him all the time. And just in his thoughts, troubled with the thought of David, who had nothing but love for Saul. And so jealousy reduced him from the king over God's people to a suspicious, insecure, hateful, murderous, pathetic basket case devoid of God and His blessings. Now, listen, I'm about ready to close, but I want you to think about this. Jealousy did that to Saul. Could it do that to you or me? No reason why not. And so where you find jealousy, where you see jealousy trying to take root in your life, I would say you better get it out, lest it cost you more than you ever realize what it could cost you. A root of bitterness, an envious spirit, a jealous, evil eye of jealousy. Why? What do we have to be jealous of? If somebody, you know, it's that thing. If somebody's against us, there were people that were genuinely against David. But David wasn't going to, you know, be envious of the wicked or worry about his affections being stolen or, you know, the affections from the people being stolen away. David and Moses, they said, look, God put me here. When Absalom, his own son, did try to steal the hearts of the people, he told Joab, don't hurt the boy. When the guy cursed him, he said, hey, maybe God sent him to curse me. I mean, that was never David's heart. because he wouldn't let jealousy, he wouldn't become like Saul. Hateful, vengeful, mean-spirited. And neither should we. If there's somebody that's a problem, give it to God. The Lord will judge. The Lord, vengeance is His. Put yourself in the hand of God. Why should we covet what others have? God said, thou shalt not covet. Be content with such things as you have. He's promised He will never leave you or forsake you. God meets all your needs. You don't need to covet. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. All these things will be added to you. I don't know where jealousy might be trying to make an inroad into your life. But I'm just going to warn you, it'll cost you if you allow it. And it could take you farther than you ever dreamed, down a path of destruction. Let's stand and we'll pray together.